Our next speaker is Dr. Brent Pawlecki. He is Corporate Medical Director for Pitney Bowes. He's responsible for all clinical and wellness programs in the Absence Management Department at Pitney Bowes.
And I don't know how I can follow up on that. Maybe if we have time, I'll juggle or something at the end. So Pitney Bowes has been around for a while, and we're best known for making those red marks in the right corner of your envelopes. We make the stamping machines for people across the globe. We've been in business for a while, a Fortune 500 company. We have 24,000 people in the U.S., where we're headquartered in Stamford, Connecticut, which is about 35 miles from New York City. We have 2,000 here in Canada, and total we have 35,000 across the globe. In addition to the mail stamping machines, which we're known for, we also outsource people's mail rooms. So we'll be the mail delivery, for example, maybe for McGill, where we'll be in-house delivering mail. Or we also have the software systems behind MapQuest, or for the GPS devices that are in your cars. So there's a lot that we do on the back end, though not a lot of consumers know who we are on the front end. I think it's important when we talk about cost, and a lot of the things I'm going to be talking about will be have been developed in the U.S. If we look at the research shows us that 25% of an employer's costs, is direct costs, are due to modifiable risks that people can do, such as sedentary lifestyle, smoking, high blood pressure. And if you look at this next graph, which is by Dr. D. Eddington, if you look at the bottom blue graph, you'll see that as a person ages with no risk scores, their costs will eventually go up over time. That's not surprising. But as you add risk scores on top of that, your costs go up exponentially from there. And what we've recognized from that is that it's very difficult to get somebody from a high risk level down to a low risk level. So what we're trying to do as much as possible is let's keep them in the blue area. Let's keep them without the risk problems that they have, and that way we'll be able to control our costs better and keep a better, healthy workforce. In addition to the direct healthcare costs, unhealthy work environments or unhealthy population really does increase your workers' compensation costs, as well as the absentee levels and the presenteeism levels. Presenteeism is when you're sitting at your desk and you're so busy thinking about your sore toe or something like that that's bothering you that you can't concentrate on your work. So ultimately, we're in the mailing business, but what we want to happen is to have healthy, engaged, and productive employees. And we do that through three different aspects. One is through our healthcare strategy, which we'll discuss in just a moment. The second is through our branded wellness programs, which we call Healthcare University. And the final is with our emergency and pandemic planning. So with our culture of health, we work to do that with providing a healthy work environment. So we have fitness centers at locations where it makes sense. We have healthy workstations and workspaces. When we just redesigned our building, it used to be that everyone would have a printer at their desk so that they would just not be moving all day long. We actually redesigned it such that everyone had to get up to go to central printers so that they would get up and have stretch breaks intermittently through the day. And then in our factory level, or factory areas and assembly areas where they're assembling the machines that we make, we actually get people up in a line, we blow the whistle, and then the team leaders get up and they do stretch break exercises for about 10 minutes a couple times during the day, because it is very important for people to get up from their work, take the breaks, and it does lead to a healthier work population. We also have infection control resources that we have around the company, and we're working towards tobacco-free workplaces. So we have it in some of our locations, but we still have challenges in others. So I don't want you to think in this talk that we're actually perfect. In fact, at a couple of our places, actually in New Jersey, we have 70% smoking rates in some of the population, so we have a long way to go on that with those folks. But we are working very hard to try to help them along. Now, with the culture of health, we do believe that it begins with their people. And we use something called value-based benefit design, which was designed by my predecessor, Dr. Jack Mahoney, who helped to put together a benefit design which realized that the total value of a population and the costs of it, you have to understand what all the costs are. So what we do is we take all of our things that lead to the cost for the companies, including our healthcare costs, our pharmacy costs, disability costs, and workers' comp costs, and we put them all into a central database so that we're able to manage the data and understand what's coming on for us. And just because something costs more doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting high value from whatever product that we're buying. So we want to make sure that we're purchasing things of value. Ultimately, as the previous speaker said, with his challenges, the health of the population really does begin with the individual. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And it is very important to try to engage the person into their own health. And whenever possible, we're trying to avoid barriers towards their getting effective treatments. So we're going to work with the carrot approach. We're going to lead with carrots rather than with the stick. And we're going to try to prevent as much as possible. Now, this is actually the picture in the background of one of our on-site medical clinics. And we have on-site medical clinics at 8 of our locations across the U.S. where they make sense. Where we have the clinics, we really work towards a low-level care, so it's provided by nurse practitioners, but we try to be high-touch, and we try to navigate people through the complicated medical system. In the event that somebody comes in for a ear infection, let's say, we're going to probe and find out what actually is going on in their lives. So we'll find out that their wife was just diagnosed with a tumor in her breast, or that their kid has attention deficit disorder, something that's going to be preventing them from being the most productive that they can. Once we know that information, we can then target them into the programs that we have offered with the company. In addition, we use our plan design for healthcare, where we're using preventive care, which we think is the most important, and people are getting that for no or low cost. When someone has a catastrophic illness, we're going to cover that at 100% as well. Where we think we can make a difference is in the routine level of care. So that's really the area where we're trying to navigate people through, not the prevention and not through the major services, but through the routine care. So an example is like when we used to ask people, how much does an MRI cost? They would say $20, because that's what their copay was. We changed that so there's a coinsurance level, so people have a sense of what the cost is, so they're paying a proportion of that. And then they're also trying to determine, do they really need that third MRI on their knee, or can they get by with the knowledge that they have from the previous MRIs that they've had? A final component is the integration that we do with the medical department, the employee assistance programs, the EAP, dealing with behavioral health or mental health issues, and then our disability and workers' comp resources. I actually run those, and frequently people will be out for a heart attack or something else, and the thing that we've been able to be very helpful with is trying to probe what in addition is leading to their problems. So we'll find out if someone has problems with diabetes, and we'll get them into the diabetes program. Or we'll actually ask two questions, which are screening questions for depression. And because if somebody has depression, they're going to have a harder time coming back to work in a timely manner. So we want to get them into the resources that they have. One of the things that we were known for is around our pharmacy benefit design. It used to be that we had three tiers of our pharmacy design. It would be at 10%, 30%, and 50%. So most of the generics were at the 10% lowest coinsurance level. Then the 30% was for the preferred drugs, and the non-preferred drugs were at the top tier. What we did was we looked at our data and saw that there were targeted conditions which were driving a lot of our costs and disability problems, including diabetes, hypertension, and asthma. So what we did back in about 2000 was we said, let's make all drugs. It doesn't matter if they're brand name or non-brand name. Let's take them all to the lowest coinsurance level. Let's get rid of the barriers that people have to getting care, that financial barrier. And it's more important that we try to keep people compliant with their medication and adherent to the therapy of what their physician wants. When we did that, all of the consultants said, you're crazy. Your pharmacy costs are going to go through the roof, and it's going to bankrupt you. Well, in fact, what happened was our emergency room rates went down, our hospitalization rates went down, and surprisingly, our overall pharmacy spend went down. And they went down because people were not using the medications that they needed to get them out of complications that happened later on. So by keeping them into proper care, preventing problems from going on, from happening, and keeping them adherent with their medications, we actually were able to keep them healthy and decrease our overall costs. Now, as you can see, we've actually expanded that quite a bit now, where we'll give people who've had a heart attack or with diabetes, we'll give them some of their medications for free. It's more cost effective for us to make sure that they're on their beta blockers or their cholesterol lowering medications than it is to pay for the heart attack that they would get later on. The second component of our culture of health is called Healthcare University. And what we're trying to do with Healthcare University is provide the environment, the tools, and the motivation for people to maintain their health. And we do that through many different components. As you can see, some of the infection control, that's an actual sneeze, so during this flu season, please remember to cough into your sleeve. We also try to motivate people with a program around weight control, which we call Change One. That's a book that was published by the Reader's Digest. And we took that book and we developed a 12-week course around that, around weight control. And it's really about changing one aspect of behavior in your life. Because as you gained weight, you didn't do it all at once. It's a bunch of small decisions that occurred over time. So what we do is we lead our webinars. At the last webinar, we had 900 people sign up for it. We do that twice a year. And we say, change one thing in your approach in your life. So if you like to drink regular soda, we're going to change it to some other beverages that are less in calories and better for you. And if you don't walk a lot, let's have you park in the far parking space rather than drive up to the closest one, and that way you can start walking a little bit too. So we're going to try small little subtle things to improve people's behavior. Now, there's a number of motivation programs that we have in place. We do it through an incentive program currently called Learn and Earn, and it's in a trimester phase. We have three trimesters, and there's a core course and elective courses that people can take. They're 15-minute long modules, and if people do that, they can win the incentive dollars or earn the incentive dollars that we're offering during that time. And we're trying to get people to understand with the core courses the things that we want them to absolutely know about their benefits, designs. Most recently, we did some work on end of life. And then we have electives in there for people who have diabetes, hypertension, other things that they can help to work on. For workplaces that don't have wellness programs, I recommend highly stealing from us this program called Count Your Way to Health. And the reason I say that is it's around health behaviors and habits that cost absolutely nothing to put in. So the Count Your Way to Health program is around the numbers 0, 1, 5, 25, 30, and 100. So 0 is no tobacco use. 1 is flossing every day because there's a connection between dental health and heart health. Eating 5 fruits and vegetables a day. A body mass index of 25 or less. 30 minutes of activity a day. And 100% seatbelt and helmet use. Now, as you see, those cost nothing, but they're habits that people can get into. And whenever we can, we try to move people towards those healthy habits. And we've incented people around those, and we've built all of our programs over time around those 6 healthy habits. The communication vehicle that we've just rolled out is called Project Living. And in the Project Living vehicle, we actually incorporate all of the health promotion information through Project Living, all the health benefits information that people need, and all of the behavioral health components that people need. So work-life issues, everything is communicated through Project Living, and people now know that when they see the emails from Project Living or the home mailings or any of the other programs that are there, that they'll know that that's something that's dealing with their life. And the final component of our culture of health is around emergency and pandemic planning, because if a person isn't ready and they're worried about their family, it's going to be harder for them to return to work after an emergency. The problems with emergencies can be around a system being down, they can be around a facility being down, or they can be around the people being down, such as in the pandemic that we're having right now. So we're trying to get people involved and engaged and planning for those over time. So that's our culture of health. It's around the healthcare strategy, the healthcare university, and the emergency and pandemic planning. Some future initiatives that we're working on is continuing to roll out our smoke-free campuses, working on preventive care, using automatic defibrillators in the workforce. One of the things I'm very excited about is our walk stations, where we have stations that you can see in the picture, where people can have adjustable desks and they plug in their laptop and they can actually walk at 2 miles an hour, so they're actually burning some calories. We put that in a couple of our call centers, and we're running a study around that to show whether or not that's been effective. But Mutual of Omaha, who did this, found that people who were on this throughout the day lost 2.2 pounds, and those who did not, who were not on that, the control group, gained 3.2 pounds. So we're hoping that it's helpful. As you can see from the blue line, that's our benchmark companies. That's where we would have been had we not put in the changes that we made. But what we see over time is we do continue to increase, as it was in Dr. Eddington's earlier slide, but we're doing it at a much slower pace. So we're running about two-thirds the cost of our benchmark companies. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that.